21 this morning, please. We'll be back there where we were reading earlier. I'll just read a few verses. We'll ask you to stand out of love and respect for the Bible one last time. Stretch your legs as well. I've only got 16 pages of notes, so we'll be here only through supper time. No big deal. So you need to stretch your legs one more time before they fall asleep. So, John 21, 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time. We don't know how much time elapsed. I don't think it was very long, but he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You can almost hear Peter, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. You know that saying, the third time's a charm? That's where this came from. I don't know, maybe, but third time's a charm. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Peter was grieved because Peter knew that Jesus knew his heart. He said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. I'll leave off reading there. And I believe Peter did love, and did love Jesus. But the problem was, he didn't love him more than these. And I want to preach to you this morning from this passage of Scripture, Breakfast by the Seaside. Breakfast by the Seaside. Jesus, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Bible. Our Savior, our Jesus, our Lord. And Lord, our heart's desire this morning is to leave this place loving Jesus more. That's my heart's desire for me and myself and everyone here. And Lord, as we settle now for a few minutes of quiet time around the Bible and preaching and teaching, I pray that we would come to this moment with that request upon our hearts and our lips. Lord, help me to leave here loving you more than I did coming in here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. At the time of our text here, this is the last chapter of the Gospel of John, and so Jesus has already been crucified. He's already been buried, and now he's risen again, and he's alive forever. He's never going to die again. And Jesus has come to the seashore of Galilee to have breakfast with his number one problem child, Peter. And it's the song we just sang, The Wonder of It All, that's Peter's life song. That was Peter's number one song in life. I think Peter may have written that and given it to George Beverly Shea to sing. I'm not sure. But anyway, Jesus spends the morning diligently. Jesus spent the morning in breakfast meticulously dealing with a man whom he loved dearly. There was much that Jesus had for Peter to do. There was a whole lot of future activities and events and ministries that Jesus had for Peter in the future that Peter could not see, but Jesus could. There was much that Peter was going to miss out on. Now, don't miss out on this, church. There was much that Peter was going to miss out on if he continued down the path on which he was this morning in this chapter. There was much that he was going to miss out on if he stayed where he was without Jesus' intervention. Yeah. Now, I've heard it preached that Peter was discouraged here because Jesus had died, that he and these other disciples, they went fishing because they were going back to their old life, and I can't deny that, but I don't even know necessarily that I'm not trying to deny that, but what I'm doing is I'm adding and building on that a little bit this morning. If you remember, Peter was a mess before Jesus ever died on the cross. And Peter had issues with the prophecy, even that Jesus would ever die on the cross. Peter had problems on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that? When he said, Lord, let's build three tabernacles for you and Moses and Elijah. And he just had a problem with his mouth. Peter had spiritual battles raging, though, too. Spiritual battles inside that nobody knew about except for the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee. Now, I guarantee you Peter knew about that. And I guarantee you Jesus knew about that, but nobody else knew about that. But Peter knew that Simon, Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have thee, they may sift thee as wheat. Peter had a lot going on, a lot of battles raging, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. My point is that Peter was a mess before the cross ever happened. He was a mess before Jesus was crucified, before he was buried. Furthermore, in Luke chapter 24, the Bible tells us that Peter looked in the tomb and saw that it was not there. So he knew he was alive. It wasn't a matter of him not believing. It's a matter of him just being a big emotional wreck. I guess I'm saying all this morning to make the point that Peter was a mess before this morning, before the breakfast by the seaside with Jesus. Before this time of eating and fellowshipping with his Savior, he was already a mess. Jesus knew that, though. Jesus knew that. And I believe the reason Jesus showed up here this morning is because Jesus was going back to heaven soon, and he was not going to be around much longer physically, manifested physically in his flesh. So he needed to address this problem here that Peter had once and for all. He needed to address Peter once and for all because his time was drawing very short, very nigh for him to return. Peter had an ongoing problem, in other words, that needed personal attention. And dearly beloved, when we have a problem that just continues to go on and on and on, we need personal attention from Jesus. And thank God, the beauty of this breakfast here with Jesus is what I want to point out. The beauty is that Jesus took the time to personally intervene in Peter's life in order to protect him from continuing down the wrong road on which he was traveling. The beauty of this breakfast is what I want to point out this morning. We'll get right into this. Number one, I want you to look with me that Jesus agreed with Peter that he should go fishing. Look in verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. Then went forth and entered a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. There were seven disciples here, but Peter was the ringleader. Peter's the one that said, hey guys, let's go fishing. I'm going fishing. In verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Disciples knew not it was Jesus. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Jesus said, go ahead. He said, wait a minute, that's not in there. Oh, hold on a minute. Jesus wasn't in the conversation, but he heard it. Right. He hears every thought you even have, every thought. How do you think he knew where to show up the next morning? Because he knew where he was. He knew what he was doing. Jesus agreed. Listen now. Jesus agreed to give Peter enough rope to hang himself. Jesus could have showed up the night before. Don't you think he could have showed up the night before and done all this? Couldn't he show up the night before and had this same conversation? But Jesus agreed. I'm going to let you go fishing. Peter, you're right. Go ahead. I agree with you. Go fishing. And see, he could have stopped Peter from going fishing, but he agreed, it's necessary, Peter, you go fishing. And I can't say for sure, but I wonder if these seven disciples that night out there on that sea, catching nothing all night long, I wonder if any one of them ever thought to pray. Have you ever been in the middle of a big disaster in your life, a big time of trials and affliction and tribulation? And you ask yourself, why did the Lord let this happen? I mean, how don't you think maybe they're out there in the middle of the sea that night and they're fishing and nothing. What in the world? Where are the fish? And Peter turns to John or Zebedee or somebody and says, look, guys, you pray, man. Somebody pray. I mean, these were Jesus' disciples. Don't you believe that they remembered? I mean, it was just a few days ago, maybe 30 days ago, a month or so, but they remembered Jesus. They knew what Jesus could do. Don't you think that they probably prayed out there on the sea that night, wondering why their life seems to be such a failure now? And no doubt they're wondering, Lord, why are you letting this happen? Understand, Jesus agreed, I'm going to let that happen. I'm going to put you through that. You go ahead and go fishing. Stay with me now. I'm getting somewhere with this. But see, Jesus probably is agreeing with you that whatever you're going through, you need to go through. He agrees with you and he lets it happen, but it's not to destroy us. It's not to destroy you. He agrees with you when you decide you're going to do something you shouldn't do. No way. God's going to try to stop me. Not always. Why didn't he stop Peter? Right. See, when God agrees with you that you're going to do something you shouldn't do, he does that because he's going to use that very thing to teach you some very important lessons. Right. So quickly, we see Jesus agreed that Peter should go fishing. And then the next morning, verse 6, let's read verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. They did not know who it was. He said to them, verse 6, Cast it down on the other side of the ship, right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So Jesus agreed Peter should go fishing. Then Jesus showed up and assigned Peter a task. He assigned him a task. Jesus told Peter exactly what to do. Cast your nets on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Now, notice, stay with me now. This was not a spiritual task at all. There was nothing spiritual about this. Take that net that you've been fishing with all night, that slimy, gross, stinky net. Smells like pond scum. Take your hands on that net and throw it to the right side of the ship. There was nothing spiritual about that. There was nothing impossible about that. Listen to me. There was nothing physically impossible about that. He didn't tell them to move a mountain. Right. He didn't tell them, to fast for 40 days. There was nothing physically impossible or even hard about this. But it was a simple human task. Listen, that Jesus assigned him. Now, so often God's people, we look for spectacular things when the Lord would like for us to just do the simple things. Oh, Lord, use me. Oh, Lord, use me, Lord. Use me for your honor and glory. He said, okay, cast your net on the right side. Well, that's, no, Lord, I mean, really, use me. Be faithful in the little things that you can do, dearly beloved. See, none of the disciples knew to whom they were even talking yet. Listen, until after they did what he said. You say, I haven't heard the Lord's voice in so long. Okay, when are you going to do what he's already said? Huh? See, well, but that's not what that's not what I'm saying, preacher. I need to hear God's voice. Well, why don't you just do what he's already said? Amen. See, we so often, we don't even recognize the Lord's voice because we don't obey what we already know to be true. We don't obey what he's already said. See, their failure the night before led them to do what they were told this morning. Don't shy away from what the Lord says in his word. You don't have to hear his voice. You just need to do what he says already. If it comes from the Bible, then do it. It may be the preacher's voice. It may be your own voice when you're reading it at home. It may be someone else's voice reading it to you. But understand, dearly beloved, if it comes from the Bible, then it's God. You don't have to hear something personally spoken to your heart. You just need to do the assigned duties that God's already given you. Say, I want God to use me for such miraculous things. Well, it starts with simple things. He which is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in that which is much. See, but God's going to test you with the little things. Jesus agreed Peter should go fishing. Then Jesus showed up and assigned Peter a task. And I want you to notice Jesus had already met Peter's need. It says in verse 8, the other disciples came in. Well, let's read verse 7, excuse me. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. See, when they did what they were told, they saw God work, they knew who they were dealing with. Oh, listen, I wish you could get that. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. God's standard of nakedness, church. He was not stark raving naked out there. But his standard, God's standard of nakedness is much higher than ours. And he cast himself into the sea. Good night. So he's going to do whatever he can to get to Jesus. Verse 8, the other disciples came in a little ship. They were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with them. As soon as they were come to land, verse 9, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid there and bread. Jesus had some fish and bread already ready to eat. Ready to eat. I mean, he already had it cooking there on the shore. This was not the fish that they had caught. This was not, by the way, they didn't catch any bread. You don't catch bread in the ocean or the sea. And so Jesus had bread and fish, amen. He already had it by the fire ready for them. He already had breakfast cooking. Don't you like to wake up in the morning, amen, with your wife in the kitchen or maybe whoever else you might live with, roommate or somebody else is cooking, and you smell that bacon? You smell those eggs, amen, whatever, you know, whatever you eat. You can't smell cereal, But anyway, he's got these fish and his bread cooking on the fire of coals. See, Jesus didn't need the fish that they caught. Jesus didn't need Peter to do anything for him. It wasn't about Jesus. Oh, Peter, go catch us some fish. I'm hungry. Jesus did not need Peter. The Lord can take care of us without our help. He does not need us, but we don't learn anything if he doesn't involve us. I mean, think about the little lad. The little lad's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Whoa, bread and fish. That was a staple diet, amen. Must not be any gluten in heaven. No bread. No gluten in the bread. Either that or our bodies are going to be able to tolerate it. It's something, I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is that little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can you imagine when Andrew took it over to Jesus? So there's a lad here. He said, hey, you got lunch? Let's go to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what is that among so many? And the little boy's standing there thinking, of course, we always preach the little boy's a hero, you know. Yeah, take my fish. And no, maybe not. Have you ever known a little hungry boy to be saying, hey, yeah, take my lunch. I don't need it. No, maybe if it was a girl. But a hungry little teenage boy, little lad, he's like, what do you mean, take my fish and my bread? That's all I got. Nobody else is eating, but this is what I got. I was the only smart one to bring something. But can you imagine what he was thinking? What do you mean, give it to Jesus? He's not going to feed all these people, Jesus. Don't you have a better idea than that? Is that all you can come up with? Be careful. Haven't you ever told Jesus, is that all you can come up with, Lord? That's the best you can take mine? All I got? Now, did Jesus need that? Did he need those fishes and loaves? No. But listen, you know as well as I do that we sometimes feel that way. Lord, what I've got's not going to help you. What do you need me for? I mean, come on, what? You know, take all I got to feed all of these people? What about me? Well, you'll get a couple morsels. But I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Man, I could be full. The boy could have felt like, also he could have felt like this. Lord, this is not going to do you any good. What I have is not worthy of you taking it. It's not enough. Lord, what I have doesn't qualify for what you need. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you've never felt that way, but I sure have. Lord, what I have doesn't qualify for what you need. Lord, what I can give you, you could probably find pretty much anywhere, Lord. What do you need mine for? What I have is not enough. What I have doesn't qualify. What I have is not good enough. Or I'm not smart enough. I'm not this or that or the other. But listen, and you reason with the Lord like, you can't use what I have. See, Jesus did not need the fish that Peter caught. Jesus did not need the fish that little boy had. Jesus does not need whatever you have, whatever you think is not worth it or qualifies. Jesus doesn't need it, but he is lovingly, mercifully, and graciously allowing you to be involved in his ministry, in his work. He's teaching Peter something here. Have you ever told the Lord, I tried that once and it didn't work? Lord, if I do that again, I'm going to fail again. Yes. Right? I mean, if you go back to Luke chapter 5, as a matter of fact, the disciples had been fishing all night long and they were already out of their boats cleaning their nets. Yep. Jesus got in Peter's boat. What a coincidence. He got in Peter's boat. He said, Peter, let's go off the shore a little bit here. And he taught and he preached from the boat to all the throngs of people on the seashore. And then he turned to Peter and said, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draw. And Peter literally said, Lord, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. He said, Lord, I've already tried that. I've already failed once, Lord. I don't want to fail again. I've already tried that, Lord, and then, boy, I fell on my face. I made a fool of myself. And Jesus looks at you and said, I know.
Yeah.
But let me teach you something. I fell on my face, Lord. I made a fool of myself. I understand that, son. I was there. I watched you. You let me fall, Lord? I sure did. I agreed that you needed to go fishing. You see, we can come up with all kinds of reasons not to, reasons that the Lord doesn't need us, doesn't need what we have, he can't use what we have, we've already tried that once, it didn't work. And quite frankly, he doesn't need us. But he wants to use us. He's chosen to use us. He's chosen to give us the privilege, the honor, to be able to do anything for him.
Amen.
Jesus agreed, yes, Peter, you do need to go fishing. But then he assigned him a small, simple task that any of you could do, any of us. Just throw the net on the other side. But then he showed Peter, I've already got everything you need. I didn't have you do that for me. I had you do that for you. Let's read on here. Verse 11. Then Simon went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, it was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto him, look now, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus allowed them to join him. Jesus invited them, come and dine. We sing that song, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. And we often think about that as being, you know, salvation, but all that is Jesus inviting us to join him. Come and dine, if I might add a scripture without changing it, come and dine with me. I don't know about you folks, but that helps my heart. Come and dine with me. I've got all this fish and bread over here. I really don't need your fish.
Amen.
You can do whatever you want with your fish. But I would like for you to come and dine with me. Wow. In other words, Jesus allowed them to join him. Anytime you open this book, it's God allowing you. When's the last time you thought about it like that? Anytime you open this book and read it, anytime you sit in a chair in this church and hear the preaching of the Bible, anytime you get on your knees and pray,
It's because God has allowed you to. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, he didn't have to give us this. He has prepared the loaves and the fishes.
Yes. Amen.
He's always here.
Right.
And he says, come on, join me.
Amen.
Join me. See, we look at the Bible as a chore.
Yep.
We look at prayer as a chore. Come on now. We look at church as a chore. And Jesus is just saying, guys, I've got everything you need. Will you join me? I'll let you. Because, I mean, listen, now think. Did they deserve this? These were disciples who had gone back to their old life. These were fishermen who had gone back to fishing. When Jesus told them to fish, be fishers of men, they're still fishing for the swimming things, the stinky things. I've smelled some men that smell like that, but that's real fish. They didn't deserve this. Are you listening to me this morning? They didn't deserve Jesus to invite them. They didn't deserve Jesus to allow them to sit down and eat with him. We don't deserve it, church. We don't deserve to fellowship with God in his word and have him feed us his word that he's already prepared for us. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to save us and give us his Holy Spirit and give us access to him in prayer and give us the revelation of himself here in this book. He didn't have to do that. Jesus allowed them to join him. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. They had just labored all night. They were loaded down with heavy loads, laden with burdens. Lord, we've been fishing all night, and then now we've caught this whole net of 153 fishes, and Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but man, I sure am loaded down with a load of labors, and I'm tired. Jesus said, I know. Come and dine. Whenever we're allowed to be with the Lord at his invitation, it should amaze us. The wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Why would he invite me to come and dine with him? After all, Peter had just jumped out of the boat into the sea. He stunk. Have you ever gone swimming in the sea? It's not a chlorine, crystal clear swimming pool. Peter stunk. They had been out there all night. Have you ever gone fishing, even for a few hours? You stink. Jesus had already been resurrected. He was glorified. And he's looking at these smelly, stinking fishermen. He said, come on, guys. Let's eat. Even when we put on our best clothes and take our best shower and even wash our feet, our spiritual lives, our nature is still very stinky, very smelly. You may be too dignified to admit it, but I'm going to be honest with you. Yours does too. But Jesus said, come on, guys. I'm going to allow you to come over here and dine with me. That's grace, folks. That's the grace that we were singing about today. That's the grace of God. That's his salvation. That's his invitation. That's his fellowship, his communion. That's his provisions. That's God's grace. Come and dine, guys. I know you're tired. I know you're hungry. I know you're embarrassed. I know you stink. Come and dine. And not only that, but look at verse 13. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them. Jesus allowed them to join him. Then he assumed the role of the servant.
Now, folks, I hope that you're paying attention here, because I'm really trying to make a point that Jesus is trying to make a point to Peter.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter now, he hasn't said a word.
Right.
Which is very unusual.
Yep.
He hasn't said a word. John looked up and said, "That's the Lord." And Peter said, "Nothing." He stuck his coat on and jumped in the water. Went to Jesus. There's no record of him saying a word.
Right.
Now Jesus said, "Come on, I've already got enough fish. Just lay those over there somewhere. I've already got the good stuff over here."
Amen.
Yep. And then look, then they sit down and he starts serving them. As far as I can tell, he didn't eat a bite. Jesus cometh, taketh bread and fish, giveth them and fish and bread, and giveth them and fish likewise. They said, "Well, he's Jesus. He didn't eat." No, wait a minute. If you just look a chapter before this, he went into the disciples' room. He said, "Have you any meat?" So he did eat. His glorified body, which means we do eat in heaven. Woo! Good food, amen. All healthy, all natural, all organic, all wonderful. Who cares? It's food. It's heavenly manna. Real heaven food. But he didn't eat there. He's feeding everybody else. Every time we show up at Jesus' invitation, we're fed by his hands. We are fed. He doesn't need to feast on this. This is him. He gives us of himself when we come and dine. Peter hasn't said a word. I mean, can you imagine all that's going through his mind? I can. I have. Just preparing this message. Jesus agreed, "Let Peter go fishing." Father, we're going to let him go. Yes, let him go. Go fishing. Then when he showed up the next day, he assigned him a simple task to teach him something. Now remember, he's teaching Peter all through this. He says, throw that net on the other side. Well, I can do that. They don't even know who it is yet, but then that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And then he goes to Jesus, and then Jesus allows him to join him. Then he assumes the role of a servant himself. And then he addresses the number one problem. Verse 15, again, we read these three verses. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith." I mean, there were seven men in those boats. Seven men who had not eaten all night because they hadn't caught anything. Seven men who were sleepy, but they were hungry. Seven hungry fishermen. So can you just see them eating? I mean, I don't know if they were like... I doubt it. Like... wow, this is good stuff. Pass me the bread. Pass me the fish. Give me seconds, thirds. So their bellies are full. Oh, man. They're content. They're satisfied. They're thinking, "Wow, Jesus, you sure are good. You sure are good to me." Jesus didn't say a word to anybody else. It wasn't about anybody else right now. He said, "Simon, now that you're full, now that you've had what you wanted, and now that you've seen all of this morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you love me more than these fishes in that net, 153 of them? Man, that was pretty good. That's a good night. These seven men, six men who stood with you and fished with you all night, I mean, they're pretty good friends. These two ships over here that, you know, have made you a lot of money. these fishes and bread that I fed you that filled your belly. But Simon, let me ask you a question. Simon, listen. Do you love me more than these? Everything else was preliminary leading up to this. He didn't say, Simon, do you believe in me? Of course I believe in you. I'm looking at you. He didn't say, Simon, Peter, do you believe I can feed you? Oh, yeah. I'm full. He didn't say, Peter, are you thankful for those fish and bread? He didn't say, Peter, will you serve me? Peter, will you do this for me? Peter, do you believe I'm real? Do you believe it? No, he didn't ask. He said, Peter, do you love me? Now, after that morning, that night, and then that morning, what would you say? Lord, you know I love you. Good night, I'm full. My nets are full. You've allowed me to sit here with you. You've done everything. Lord, you know I love you. Whew. You better believe it. Give me five. Jesus looks up at his father and says, we're not there yet. The question was, Peter, do you love me? And then he says in verse 15 at the end, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Peter, do to my lambs what I've just done for you. Isn't that what he just did? Isn't that what Jesus just did? Didn't Jesus just feed Peter and his fisherman buddies? He said, okay, Peter, you love me? Feed my lambs. If you love me, Peter, serve me. Listen, you know what he's saying, don't you? He's saying, if you love me, serve me, because I just served you because I love you. The picture that I've drawn for you, that the Bible draws for us here in John 21, those seven hungry, stinky, smelly, tired, discouraged, scratching their heads fishermen, they weren't, you know, luxury companions that morning. There's no human reason for Jesus to have gone to all of this trouble is what I'm trying to say. There's no human reason for Jesus to have done all of this for those seven men who indeed had turned their backs on him. What did he just finish? He just finished feeding them. He says, you love me, Peter? Let me just not change the word of God, but let me just ad lib a little bit to kind of make the picture clear for us. He said, Peter, do you love me like I love you? Okay, will you feed my lambs like I just fed you? Whew. Boy, that must have really got a hold of Peter. The breakfast by the seaside began with Jesus serving Peter. The fish that Jesus prepared. The fish that Peter ate. The fish that Jesus served him. The breakfast ended with him saying, do you love me? Then you go do the same thing that I've just done for you. If you're not doing it, Peter, it's not because you can't. It's because you won't. And it's not because it's impossible. It's because you don't love me. God does not ask us, dearly beloved, to do miracles. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Why was Peter grieved the third time? Because Jesus was not letting him off the hook. Right.
Again, because Jesus knew, Peter, I've got so much in store for you. I've got so much for you to do. But if you keep going down this road of just rebellion and disobedience and discouragement and ignoring my voice and ignoring the truth of the gospel and ignoring what I've done for you and not understanding that there's a greater purpose in life than fishing all night. If you don't get off of this road, Peter, and get back on the road where I put you, listen, your life is going to amount to nothing. And the only way you're going to get off of that road and stay on the right road is if you love me. Amen. Not love what I can do for you. He didn't say, Peter, did you like that fish? Didn't say that. Peter, did that bread taste good? Didn't say that. Right. Peter, are you comfortable? He didn't say that. He said, Peter, do you love me? Amen. See, if you only love what Jesus can do for you, yep, you're not going to serve him. Right. Not faithfully. Right. He didn't say, Peter, do you love what I just did for you? But he used what he had already done to prick his heart. Yes. Let me say that again. Jesus used what Jesus had already done for Peter to prick Peter's heart. Let me ask you, church, how much more does Jesus have to do for you? To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. How much more does he have to do? What's it going to take for you to love him? What's it going to take? The truth of the matter is, it's not about what he can do. It's about him. Lovest thou me? That was Peter's problem. Jesus was a master, though, in preparing Peter for this interview. What's Jesus doing in your life right now to prepare you for this question? This was a life-changing breakfast. Oh, Peter. He ate breakfast by the sea with the Savior, but when he looked back on this morning, he didn't remember the fish. He wasn't so concerned about the bread and the fire. He remembered there's a man named Jesus who loved me enough to take a very personal interest in me, when all I could do was run away, leave him, forsake him, deny him. I think I will serve him. Matter of fact, I think I'll love him, and I'll serve him because I love him. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts are stirred by your goodness, your grace, your glory, your long suffering, your power. Lord, thank you for knowing exactly what we need when we need it. Thank you for knowing exactly where to show up in our lives when we need you the most. Lord, thank you for your wisdom, allowing us to go through times of failure to remind us that you're our number one and only hope in this life.
Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit this morning to ask each one of us sitting here, lovest thou me more than these? I pray this morning, dear God, that you would do a work in our hearts like you have Peter and so many others. Lord, Peter never looked back. He went forward, he preached. He suffered, and he bled, and he was martyred because he loved Jesus, because you changed his life this morning by the seaside. Now, Lord, I pray you'd help us all. Oh, dear God, start with me. Lord, we would see such a powerful moving of your Spirit, revival in our church, in our hearts, in our lives, if we would once and for all answer this question, face this question, lovest thou me more than thee?